And here we are on Easter morning, ready to share a story. And one of the difficult things about being a preacher is Christmas and Easter, and you'd think that's a very strange thing to say, wouldn't you? Because it's a story that's been told and heard so many times. And bringing a fresh perspective to something is not always an easy thing to do. But I want to do that today because I've noticed that whenever anything seems to be going wrong, it's lockdown's fault. Have you noticed that we've slipped into that thinking? Say again? Yeah, the kids are going out this morning. Yes, the waiting.
Oh, you didn't say I was waiting.
So was one. Thank you. And we've slipped into this mentality of it's lockdown's fault. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Everything's lockdown's fault. And we're very quickly becoming a society that needs to blame something. And lots and lots and lots of us have struggled over the last few years. And that's a fact. It has been tough, and we've struggled. And that's exactly what was happening when Jesus was crucified. It is the worst attempt at a lockdown there's ever been. Because 3 days later, he was up from the dead. But understand this. People were devastated at what had happened. Trying to make sense out of something you build your life upon that has fallen like a house of cards is extremely difficult to do. And as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, this is the most significant event in our faith. It's an event that has given us the measurement of time as we know it. Think about that. Not only that, it's the day he conquered death. And it's what your faith is based upon. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is not just a story. It is a message. It is a message of salvation to those without hope in their life. That once was me. That once was you. That may be you today. It is a message of hope to all who failed God in one way or another. That was me. That was you. That may be you today. It is a message of restored faith and belief to those who have given up. It's a message of joy and peace to those who are sinking in self-pity and despair. And it's a message of purpose and destiny to those without direction and meaning in their life. You see, those disciples of Jesus, those early followers who'd been with him prior to his crucifixion, they were experiencing all of these emotions just like we do. These are common emotions, and these are things that we have to deal with from time to time. How many of us have felt a total despair and a sense of loss or failure? I've been there. It's not pleasant. How many of us have had a sense of hopelessness and a loss of faith in a moment? It's not nice. How many of us have found a depression due to our purpose and destiny suddenly disappearing? These are very common human emotions that was being experienced by the disciples of Jesus. We need to allow the message of the resurrection to minister and heal our lives. Because through the power of his resurrection, he is able to touch you today. Why? Because he is alive forevermore. They were ready to crown him king, only to have their hopes and expectations crushed by his death. They were unable to grasp the significance of what was taking place. Who could in such a situation? Their belief in Christ was shattered, so that even after his resurrection, they were slow to believe. Matthew 26 tells us that they all forsook him because they'd lost hope. That's a desperate situation. Matthew 26:75 tells us about Peter, that he went out and wept bitterly after the incident with the cockerel crowing. They'd given up everything to follow Jesus. And now they were filled with total disillusionment. They were in need of a Savior. Bring up our first slide. Let's see what the scripture says. Next one, please. First, there we go. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. Thanks, Kat, by the way. Where is she? Talk about stealing your thunder. Taking the spices they'd prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified, and they bowed with their faces to the ground. And then the men asked, "Why are you looking for the dead? For someone who's alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. Remember." And that's our starting place this morning. When we're facing difficult times and we're losing hope, remember what he told you. But all of this was about to change for them, if only they'd dare to believe once again. So how does Jesus do it? How does he restore faith when faith is all but gone in our life? When we're crushed with depression, when we've lost vision, how does he do that? In Luke 24, verse 5-8, it says this: "The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. And the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive?'" There's the clue. Why are you looking in the wrong place? That's a starting point. Yeah? Why are we doing that? Why is it when life crushes, we often look everywhere but here? Why is that? We want to find him? Here he is. From cover to cover. And so what Jesus does in Mark 16, verse 7, look at this one. "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there just as he told you before he died." There it is again. Remember what he said. Just as he told you. Here it is. It's in here. Just as he told you. It's as effective today as it was the moment it left his lips. This is alive, this book. We need to learn not to look amongst the dead for the living, but to look in the living Word of God for the living Savior. He begins to plant and to replant seeds of truth. They go on to share with the disciples, these dear ladies, but they don't believe them. But come on, who would? It's a fantastic story. But there was enough of a seed planted for them to begin to investigate the truth. And whenever the truth of God's word comes into our hearing, whether it's for the first time or for a particular situation, we have a choice. Now make sure someone next to you is awake now. Don't let them sleep at this bit. This is the bit you want to hear. Okay. We have a choice of listening to the voice of doubt and unbelief or to looking into the truth. We have that choice. There is no excuse. We must dare to believe. You risk everything when you take that step of belief to follow Jesus. As a young soldier in the streets of Northern Ireland, kneeling on the ground with some old girl with her shopping trolley and a big Bible telling me about Jesus, the most unreal situation you can think of, I took a risk and I stepped forward into something I knew nothing about. You see, our faith is important. You can have faith and you can have saving faith. They're very different things. We can stand on top of a burning building. We can both look down and see the fire engine with the big trampoline to catch us. And we'll both totally believe that's a fire engine. And we'll both totally believe those men are trained to catch us. And we'll both totally believe that they've done this before and they know what they're doing. But if one of us jumps, that's saving faith. No good having faith in something and doing nothing with it. You have to step into your faith. And that's what Easter's all about. Dare to believe. Dare to believe. Take him at his word. Even in the midst of the most intense and severe circumstances and bitter disillusionment, dare to believe. You see, when we do, God begins to show us through his scriptures more and more and more. And my favorite saying, we get our ducks in a row. It's wonderful. Jesus then begins to open our understanding of this book. In Luke 24, 27, this is Jesus talking to the disciples on the road to Emmaus that Kat read earlier. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you give your right leg for a situation like that? I'd trade everything to go to one of his Bible studies. Wouldn't that be something? You want the good news? I'm going to spend eternity in his Bible studies. How about you? So looking forward to that. You see, the seeds of restored belief have been planted in their hearts. And now Jesus is bringing those seeds to life. In order to see and believe in Jesus and his will for our life, we've got to first have our understanding open to it. Experiences will come and go. They'll fade. Much of modern church is about how it makes you feel. That's entertainment. That will fade. That will pass. God's word never fades and never dims. You see, we need a complete picture and a revelation of who Jesus is. That's what Easter's all about. In Luke 24, 45, 46, and he opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. How many times have you heard the Easter story? Lots and lots and lots. Has it gone in? Has your understanding opened? Have you embraced it? Because it will change your life. God's desire is to open your understanding. And there's nothing more fulfilling than when that happens. The disciples go forth full of the Holy Spirit in a conquering attitude after their belief is restored. And you and I can and must do the same. You're not here to warm the seats. We're here to serve the King. What is happening this morning? This is the family gathered in its front room at the end of the week. This is not the focal point. This is just the family come together after being at work for the King. Isn't that incredible? That's how important you are to Jesus. In Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, we read this. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Now, have a little sneaky look at the person next to you. That's a holy person. Now, here's an even harder bit. That's his glorious inheritance. Wow. If you think that was bad, wait till you go home and look in the mirror. And then say those things. A holy person, a glorious inheritance. That's exactly who we are. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The power of God at work in our life. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So this Easter morning, my dear friends, I urge you, I dare you to believe. I dare you for what's most needed in your life. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned or how many times you've failed God. Gosh, you'll have to go some to beat me. Paul says that he is the chief of sinners. To my shame, I gave him a close run. And yet, the love of God, if he's able to take a life as broken as mine and to put it together again, what can he do for any one of us? Open your heart to him today and dare to believe, because he's risen from the dead and he is alive forevermore. So I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. We're just going to pray, and we're going to close with a song. And then, as always, as what we do in this family is we have some great time together through in the cafe afterwards. But we're going to pray, and just as we're going to pray, I'm just going to ask you, you know what, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never experienced him in the way I've spoken of today, if you've never dared to believe, if you've never let the Easter story touch you like this, and you'd like to know a little bit more, I'm not going to embarrass you by making you come out the front or anything like that, but just pop your hand up and I'll have a chat with you over coffee, if that's you. And in the same way, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a short time or a long time, if you think, you know what, I really need to sort this out, I really need to get my life back on track, if that's you too, just pop your hand up and we'll talk over coffee. I'll come and find you. Bless you. I'll come and do that. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the family gathered together here in our front room. We love you, Lord, and thank you for Easter. Thank you, Lord, for rising from the dead. Hallelujah. And to you, Lord, we say, thine be the glory.